Russia. And they had big, high hopes. They always do. Russia always does about getting their residents the vaccine. Now, naming the vaccine Sputnik 5, naming it after a Earth satellite that you put up into the sky around 1958. Maybe that was less than ambitious. Maybe that wasn't the best of ideas. Want to bring on our next guest. Love talking all things Russia with him. He's the director of Disinfo Watch and senior fellow at the McDonnell Laurier Institute. He is Marcus Kolga. Marcus, it's great to have you on and chat again. I always enjoy our conversations. Thanks for making the time.
Always great to be on, sir.
Are you enjoying the Olympics and the non-Russian Russian team, ROC? Every time I see ROC, I think Rochester, New York, and I'm like, oh, no, that's just... Those are just Russian athletes pretending that they're not from Russia, basically, again, at the Olympics, which constantly seems to happen.
Yeah, you know, it's tough for me. You know, I've watched the film Icarus, and if, you know, your listeners haven't seen it, they should see that film. It's about the entire Russian doping scandal. You know, it's not surprising that the Russian team or the non-Russian team is competing, but, you know, the IOC really is demonstrating that the rules don't matter. And, you know, again, watching these Olympics, it's really tough watching them when that team that did, you know, so flagrantly break the rules, they're at the games and they're doing very well, which is, you know, great for the athletes themselves. But when it comes to the team and the government and the scandals in the past, it's just really disappointing that, again, the rules just don't seem to matter.
Yeah, for people wondering, well said, and for people wondering, ROC stands for Russian Olympic Committee. That's so when they're third or fourth in the medal tables, that's who's winning the elections, is the Russia Olympic Committee. What was the attempt? I mentioned Sputnik 5, and Russia has actually sold this vaccine to other nations as well. What were they hoping to accomplish with their own vaccine? What hasn't succeeded? Has anything succeeded?
Well, there were two objectives with that vaccine. The first was, of course, one would hope to get Russians inoculated to make sure that they were safe and healthy. The second objective, which probably was more important for Vladimir Putin, whose, you know, primary objective is, as we've talked about several times, is to stay in power. You know, he spent the past 20 years bleeding the Russian bank accounts essentially dry, stealing from the Russian people. And his main objective is to make sure that he doesn't get held to account and that he remains in power. So, you know, with the COVID situation, I think he saw, first of all, an opportunity to advance his interests abroad, but also to use, you know, the pandemic to secure his position, and Sputnik was certainly touted as a savior for the Russian people. Unfortunately for Vladimir Putin, the way that he operates, you know, he needs to make sure that he aggressively goes after any sort of competitors, and that means, you know, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Moderna. And so starting quite early on, I would say, around the middle of the winter, he embarked on this campaign to cast doubts about these other Western vaccines. AstraZeneca was frequently labeled in Russian media as being, you know, a monkey vaccine because of the antibodies they were derived from, I think, a chimpanzee. Pfizer side effects were frequently featured on Russian media in order to terrify Russians and encourage them to go and get the Sputnik vaccine. But all of this entire campaign to attack Western vaccines, really, it seems to have backfired on him, because at this point, there are around only 16% of Russians have received their first dose of Sputnik 5. Case counts are surging and have been surging over the past 2 months in Russia. And there's a real crisis there, because Russians are believing the propaganda that Vladimir Putin has put out there about vaccines. And so Russians are believing that all vaccines, because of that anti Western vaccine campaign, they're believing that all vaccines are unsafe. And so there's a massive amount of hesitancy right now.
So, the goal seems fairly simple. Let everybody know that Russia's COVID vaccine is the best one, that you can't trust the foreign-made vaccines. The other thing I'm seeing is that they're selling the counterfeit vaccine certificate market thriving in that country. We shouldn't be surprised, but that in for fear of eventual mandates, the Russians are going to every extent to basically buy counterfeit vaccine. We just saw Canadian citizens get fined coming back to Pearson for just that. But this is very, very, however widespread we think it might be in North America, it's tenfold in Russia.
Yeah, it's quite a serious situation. The fraudulent vaccine certificate industry is just booming in Russia. And people are going so far as to have order prosthetics. So these are, sort of the types of prosthetics that you might see in movies, whereby they place a sort of a pad over a person's arm. And so people are buying these things, going to the doctors to get the jab. The hope is that the jab goes into the prosthetic, not into their bodies. And through that, they get a certificate. And this is, as wacky as it sounds, I mean, this is something that's actually happening in Russia. Yeah. So that fear, again, caused by state propaganda itself, is so great that they're, Russians are taking, going to these lengths to avoid the vaccine.
You need a good story for how you lost your arm in the first place, though, to whoever's administering the vaccine. I would think, that when we had our vaccines, we all engaged in some form of chit chat, especially if we don't like needles. That you'd have to come up with quite a story for why you don't have an entire right arm twice, for two different times for your Sputnik V vaccine, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And what's interesting, so it's not just those sorts of prosthetics, but there are even these overlaying pads that people would put on. So you wouldn't even need that story. So there are two types of prosthetics, I guess, that are being used for this. It's quite wacky.
Marcus Kolga is our guest, director of DisinfoWatch, senior fellow at the McDonnell Laurier Institute. We've talked about Belarus before, all the problems there, huge problems with their government. And, I grew up, you would have done the same. We're probably same generation where you grew up and South Africa is not allowed to compete in the Olympics because of apartheid. And it feels like we don't ban anybody now. The IOC does not put anybody, no matter how they treat, gays, no matter how they treat women, we just don't keep anybody out of the Olympics. Belarus would have been a strong candidate. So they send a sprinter to Tokyo for the Olympics. She's now taken refuge in the Polish embassy. She did not want to go. The team ordered her to fly home. She had spoken out, to some extent against the government, and she was not getting on that plane because that's bad news to get on that plane and go back to where she's from. She was supposed to be in the 200 meters. She didn't end up competing. What were your observations of this story? And is she just going to be in Poland for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I mean, we know that over the past year that the Belarusian government, the government of Alexander Lukashenko, who's defined and called the last dictator in Europe, I mean, he's really undertaken a serious crackdown in Belarus after the presidential elections in last August. There are hundreds of people who remain in prison. There are allegations of torture, widespread torture. Tens of thousands were imprisoned. And the situation is only growing worse day by day for anyone who utters any sort of criticism of the government. It's like it's really a North Korea situation that's emerging there. And so this poor sprinter, Kristina Tsimonouskaya, she went to the Olympics. She was expecting to run in the 200 meters yesterday. And over the weekend, her coaches sort of just quietly told her that, oh, by the way, you're going to be running in 4x400, and she's not a 400 meter runner, and she took to Instagram to just say, the coaches are a little, I'm not sure if she used the word incompetent, but she essentially inferred that that the coaches are not doing their jobs because they failed to get the proper doping tests for her fellow athletes who were supposed to run in the event. And so she criticized her coaches, and for that criticism, just for criticizing the coaches, and their lack of ability to organize the team properly. She was told that she was going to go home. And I guess, you know, over that 24-hour period or so, her parents had called her from Belarus, telling her not to come home, because during that time, Alexander Lukashenko had started promoting propaganda on state television, on state radio, to denigrate her, to smear her. And so it became very evident that if she were to return home, it's very likely that the authorities would have been at the gate in Minsk, probably arrested her. And now her husband has fled to Ukraine. And I believe her parents are also in the process of trying to get out of the country for this. So let's, you know, this is not, it's not like she was outspoken politically. All she did was criticize her coach's inability to organize properly.
Yeah, and there have been athletes in Belarus that have spoken out, ex-athletes that have lost their status, lost their jobs, and been put in jail. So, you know, we talk about freedom of speech here not being the same as freedom from consequence. No, no, no. They really don't have freedom of speech there. I got to leave it there, Marcus. Thanks very much for weighing in and updating us on that story. I always enjoy chatting with you.
Thanks, Greg. Anytime.
You got it. Marcus Kolga, Director of Disinfo Watch, Senior Fellow at McDonnell Laurie Institute.